Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the Ackerman Security Hotline to talk about that and more. Former Oriole right-hander, you can hear him on The Fan tonight with Jim Hunter calling the ball game. Big Ben McDonald. Ben, what's happening?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing Ben. All right, Ben. Appreciate your time joining us here on the program. Talk about Gausman last night. He had been struggling against the Cubs Friday after the All-Star game. Did not go good for him, but he pitched very well last night. What did you notice differently about Gausman compared to what we've seen through pretty much most of 2017?
Yeah, you know, I hadn't had the, you know, busy with college baseball for most of the year. I had the opportunity to see a whole lot of Oriole stuff, and I saw it on paper, and Kevin Gausman's struggles, you know, especially his last two starts have been obviously awful before last night, but boy, I tell you what, didn't see it last night. I mean, I thought the fastball command was really good. He was able to throw his fastball both in and out. And, you know, the breaking ball was good. Of course, the two different changeups that he has, that split finger ball and the regular circle change, was dominant last night and is what he got most of his strikeouts on. So I saw a guy that really commanded his stuff. He only walked two. He struck out eight. Of course, only gave up, you know, four hits and one run in six innings. And he looked like the Kevin Gausman in the second half last year for me, you know. And so it was a lot of doom and gloom when I got here a couple of days ago. That's all I heard, how bad the Orioles were playing and the pitching wasn't very good. But, boy, Chris Tillman kind of got it going, you know, several nights ago. And then Dylan Bundy followed up, and Kevin Gausman was outstanding last night. So if the Orioles are going to climb back in this thing, which I think they're quite capable of doing, it's going to begin on the mound. And, boy, three quality starts in a row is good stuff. And hopefully Wade Miley will follow suit tonight.
Now, Ben, you've been here for three games. Your real starting pitching has been really good for three games. I think you're the key.
No, I'd like it. Look, I'd love to take all the credit for it, but truth is I don't have anything to do with it. You know, I think, you know, when you look at the Orioles, you see the talent that's there. And when I saw the ERA right at six for the starting pitchers this year, I'm thinking to myself, man, these guys are way too talented. They're way too good to have those types of numbers, you know. And so, you know, it's just a matter of time, because you know it's in the tank for the Orioles, because the way they started the season this year was just outstanding. You know what they're capable of doing, and you also know they're quite capable of making a run. So, you know, I think everybody's hoping that this is the beginning of an outstanding run. And we said when this, you know, when these seven games started right here, we said, look, with the Astros coming in, of course, the Rangers, if the Orioles can find a way to go 5-2 during this time, I think it's going to be a great start for them to kind of climbing back in this thing. Well, they've positioned themselves now with four games remaining on this homestand, you know, to play 500 ball from here on out, and all of a sudden they're 5-2 and really climbing back in this thing.
Ben, you've taken the mound a few times in the majors in your life. With Kevin Gausman, we don't talk it. We always talk it. Look, obviously, command's important, mechanics are important, you know, arm talent, you know, all these things. But starting pitching, so much of it's from the neck up, whether it's the chess game between the hitter or just you dealing with yourself. How much do you think, with Kevin Gausman, I mean, not sitting around talking with Kevin all the time, but just your thoughts, how much of this could be the issue of the game from the neck up?
Oh, I think a lot of it is. I mean, there's no doubt about it, because when you look at Kevin Gausman, I mean, he just oozes with talent. I mean, I saw a fastball up to 98. I see movement on it. I see swing and miss changeups and split finger balls and breaking balls, and you look at the ERA and you go, you know, wow, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I just asked Kevin Gausman one thing 2 days ago when I got here. I said, are you healthy? He said, yes, sir, I'm healthy. He said, my arm feels great. I said, perfect. I said, everything's going to take care of itself. That was the extent of our conversation. And so I think for him, first of all, seeing Tillman do his thing, have success, and then all of a sudden you see Bundy do his, that as a starting pitcher, that helps me. When I start seeing guys have success in front of me, that boosts my confidence, too. And then I said last night before the game started, if Kevin Gausman can find a way to navigate through the first couple innings, because I remember when I would go through my struggles, man, the start of the game is so important, because you want something good to happen, and you need something. Even if it's a line out for a double play, just even if they hit it hard, but they hit it to somebody, I feel like something good just happened. And all of a sudden, the confidence gets going. And I think as the game went forward last night, I think you could see Gausman kind of stick his chest out a little bit. I thought his body language was really good as the game went on. I think he got a lot of confidence. So I look for him to really take off from this point forward, because I just straight up love the stuff that when he gets on the bump out there, it's good stuff.
Ben McDonald joining us here, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Terry Ford. Now, Dylan Bundy, you saw him, of course, at game two of the series. Ben, how did he look different compared to a year ago this time when you were watching him in his first go-around as a starting pitcher?
Well, you know, when I watched Bundy, the first thing that jumped at me was I didn't see quite the velocity the other night that I saw last year. Like, he pitched at 91, 92. But what was impressive about him, when he got in a little bit of trouble the other night, he had the ability to turn it up a notch or two. And then I started seeing some fours and some 95s on the board. So I said, here's a kid that's maybe just starting to dial it back a little bit. He's kind of cruising along. And then when he needs to reach back and get a little bit extra, man, he has the ability to do that, you know. And so that was impressive for me. But I was, again, his fastball command both in and out was good. He threw his breaking ball for a strike, two different breaking balls, the overhammer, which we're so used to, and now a little cut fastball to go with it. And I thought his changeup was really good as well, too. So, again, impressed with him. I know his innings, are reaching a career high for a season. He's already, you know, as many innings this year as he had the whole year last year. So, it'll be interesting to see how he holds up. I think he'll hold up fine. I really do. I mean, he's obviously big old legs and a strong core and all that kind of good stuff. So, I think he's going to be fine for the rest of the season.
You know, Ben, when we look at Bundy and Gausman, there's huge expectations on those guys because they are supposed to anchor the future of the Oriole rotation. We can count on one hand over the last 30 or 35 years guys who have had expectations that could anywhere be near what yours were when you were showing up out of LSU. If you could sit down with Gausman and Bundy and just say, look, here's how I handle expectations, and just give you a little advice on it, what would you say? Because you had to handle a ton of them, my friend.
That's a great question, you know, and I tell people this all the time. You know, I was in the big leagues at 21 right out of college, and I remember Frank Robinson, my first full year the following year, saying that Ben McDonald had to win 20 games for the Orioles to be successful that particular year, which was, you know, 1990. And that got to me. I tried to live up to those expectations. I tried to do more than what I was capable of doing. And I knew that I didn't know how to pitch when I got to Baltimore as a 21-year-old kid, because my college coach, you know, for good reason, called all of my pitches. And all of a sudden, I'm in the big leagues, I got to call my own game. And I had not a clue how to do it. I let those pressures get to me trying to live up to that. And so I finally had Cal Ripken sit me down one day about my second year with the Orioles, and Rick Sutcliffe came along, and they said, listen, you're going to do fine. You need a maturing track, you know, innings where you get enough innings in the big leagues to where the light bulb's going to come on. We're going to help you along the way when we can. But you got to go be yourself. You got to continue to work as hard as you're working, and things are going to happen. And quit trying to please everybody and go out there and do your best every time. If you can do your best every time and you can go out there every time, prepare yourself in between starts and work your tail off and compete and do the best, things are going to start to fall in line. And that's when it really kind of clicked for me to quit trying to live up to all the expectations, because for a young kid, expectations can be a horrible thing, especially when you start trying to live up to them at a level like this. Because I didn't have the luxury of learning in the minor league system, you know, in front of 400 people on a rainy, cold night somewhere where nobody's watching. I had to learn in front of 46,000 people every night, and that was tough for me too, because I went home a lot of times and banged my head on the wall wondering why I couldn't consistently get guys out in the big leagues, and it bothered me for a while, you know. And so that's a tough growing curve. I think it's a little bit easier now than what it used to be, especially for Gausman and these guys, but it's still a tough thing. But I think both these guys have been around long enough now that they understand where they are, what they do, and what they got to continue to do to get better. And I think that's what it's all about, is continuing to adjust your game and get better.
Ben McDonald joining us on The Fan, Bob Haney, Terry Ford with you on this Throwback Thursday. All right, Ben, Roger McDowell, your former teammate Alan Mills, they've been brought in. Dave Wallace, Dom Chidi are gone. A lot of fans pointing fingers, looking to assess blame. As a former major league player, what would you say to a fan or media guy? Like, say, McDowell's ruined these players. What would you say to that sort of criticism? Fair or unfair?
I don't know about that. I mean, Roger McDowell's been a good pitching coach for a lot of years. You know, and ultimately we could, you know, we know when a team struggles, the manager gets fired, you know, but it's not really the manager's fault all the time. It's the players that aren't performing, you know. And I think if you'd go ask Kevin Gausman and Wade Miley, you know, and you'd go ask others in the starting rotation, you know, is it your fault or is it Roger McDowell's fault? You know, I think the pitchers are going to put sole blame on themselves because they understand that, you know, a pitching coach can help, but he's not the one out there throwing the pitches. You know, and as a guy that's in my mid-20s or older, like some of these pitchers, they understand what it takes to be successful. They understand the mistakes that are being made out over the plate, and I'm sure Roger McDowell sees it too, and they're trying to correct those things. So I wouldn't place blame on the pitching coach at all. I think if these players are honest with themselves, they'd be the first one to tell you that they have not performed to this point like they wanted to. The good news is what you've done at this point doesn't matter anymore. It's what you do to this point forward. So I like really where the Orioles are. I love the fact that I've seen three quality starts in a row. The bats, as you mentioned, are really starting to come alive. I mean, double-digit runs and hits both the last two nights. The defense has been outstanding. No errors the last three games. So, look, it's a team to me that's this really starting to fire on all cylinders.
Pat McDonald, you're going to hear him tonight on 105.7 The Fan along with Jim Hunter as the Orioles and Rangers wrap up a four-game series. Then the Houston Astros come to town. Ben, we appreciate the time. We'll be listening tonight.
Thanks, Ben.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Ben McDonald on the Ackerman Security Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.